Hi. It's Grace, the Australian robot voice of the Megacast. I have no idea where Ted and Steve are, so I figured I would play back some of my favorite segments from past shows. I know a lot of you might be new to the show, so I'll pull some cool from the early years. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex.
B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex,
you are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
It's the Megacast.
What up?
My name is Steve. I'm here with my good friend, B. Ted Smith. How are you, Ted?
You know, not bad, Steve. I notice every week we start this. You're a drummer, so you have a little bit of an advantage.
Right.
But I always like want a fist pump, and I'm like a beat off.
You're like the drunk person in an audience when you go to a concert and they're trying to clap along, but they're just way off the beat.
Yeah, I feel like kind of like the drunk guy at like an EDM show. That's like, yes, the bass is about to drop. And it's like, no, it's not.
No.
Still got to build up a little longer there, fella. I saw it happen. I saw Pauly D years ago at the Shoebox. That's right, Pauly D.
Was it his GTL tour?
It might have been. I mean, yeah. This is before he was in Vegas and had his own show, but it was in between like Jersey Shore. Anyhow,
okay.
I'm at the bar and like a guy started doing that. And then he kind of stopped and was like, I timed that out wrong. And I was like, you'll be able to tell, man. Like, they kind of build it up.
I see that at concerts all the time, and I remember one time, and I shared this story about being at the Slash concert, and the woman next to me could not clap to the beat, but she refused to stop clapping, and it's like one of those moments where you just want to tap on her shoulder, like, hey, I'm not trying to infringe on your fun, but you're freaking pissing me off because you just can't seem to match with the beat.
How far off?
Like, way off. Like, almost like as if she was doing it on purpose. It was bad. Like, I couldn't even on purpose clap bad like that.
So anyhow, when you listen to this, just know when it starts and it's kind of building up.
Yeah.
Like, I always get a little excited. Steve waits and hits it perfect.
I know exactly when that drum's going to kick in and that is going to happen. We could try it again, Ted.
That's
give it a
shot. I miss is the
Here we go. All right. So right now you're fine.
Yep.
Still good. You're still doing good, Ted.
See, I'm getting excited.
All right. Now here comes the bass.
B-Tech
Smith. Got the build. You're bobbing good.
You are now.
Here we go. Ready?
The Megacast.
Not yet. Boom!
See, I always want to go in like 4 ticks early.
You're way off.
I shouldn't have pointed this out. You would have never noticed.
Here we go. One more time. I'm not even going to coach you now.
You are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
Oh, you're off! Oh, man.
I missed it!
You were so off. If only people could be in this room to witness what I just witnessed. Like, there was such a trepidation behind your fist as you were about to pump it in the air. And you're like, you held off. And I was like, oh, good. He's holding off. And then it kicked in. And then you did it.
Well, I was like, hold off. And then I was like, damn it, I missed it.
You overthought it.
Yeah. I thought maybe I could throw that fist pump in real quick and you wouldn't notice.
Okay, we can't keep doing this. I do want to give a shout out before we get to the push-ups and also the TED Talks. Give a big shout out to Vivico Girl on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
She wrote in and said, every time I hear Testify on KISW, I keep thinking it's the intro to the Megacast, and I'm waiting to hear Grace's voice, not Rage Against the Machine.
Grace.
I love it.
Yeah. We're all waiting to hear Grace's voice more and more.
Yes. Everybody loves Grace's voice.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. Who knows what she'll say tonight? I'm guessing it'll be dirty. By the way, for a while, a few months ago, the big song was that I'm in love with the coke.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I was at a friend's house last night, and we may or may not have introduced this friend to that song.
Okay.
And he has like a 1.5-year-old son
mm-hmm.
who apparently now is obsessed with the song.
Oh, no.
And like dances around to it. Like I said, I mean, go look. It's a 1.5-year kid. He has no idea. They probably think he's just, I mean, he doesn't know what the song's about. He thinks it's just about Coco.
I was going to say, would it be bad to film the kid and then put it on YouTube for everybody's enjoyment? You know somebody would be pissed off about that.
Somebody would be super pissed.
I can't believe you're having your kid sing about cocaine. It's like, well, no, the kid, that's your interpretation of it. Obviously, yes, we all know as adults that this song is about cocaine, but a 1-year-old does not have any idea that this is a song about cocaine.
Plus, the fact that the little kid likes it means that, like, you know, when you go over there and, you know, it's a little kid, so you're not going to get, like, the party atmosphere if you come over to like my house, right?
Oh, you mean the kid's not chopping lines?
No, well, not that.
What's up, Ted? You want a bump?
I just think you're having a nice afternoon, then it's like, man, I wish we could turn this barbecue out. Like, put on the cocoa. The kid's been to it.
Yeah. That's a sign of a great song, though. I mean, as far as, well, at least that's a sign of a catchy song.
Oh, they're catchy.
If you could get a kid to start singing along to it, before he's even able to really fully master the English language, and there he is singing along to the song, that's quite the sign that it's a catchy as all hell song.
Yeah, there's songs we play on the station that I don't really care for. Like, I'm thinking of one specific band.
Tell me.
But their songs are so catchy, I catch myself during the commercial break singing them.
Who is it? Now I'm curious. Buck Cherry.
No, I like Buck Cherry.
Okay. Imagine Dragons.
Nope. Really like Imagine Dragons.
I do too.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Who
I'll give you
been?
A hint.
Okay.
You're way off.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
AWOL Nation.
Oh, hell no, man. I like AWOL All Nation.
Right. You down with the AWOL Nation as well?
It's not Tom Petty.
No, it can't be Tom Petty. No one ever talks bad about Tom Petty.
Never.
Oh, man. Volbeat.
Nope. You're still off in a huge way.
And it's on KISW.
Yes.
Son of a bitch. Korn.
Nope, still way
off. Godsmack.
Nope, still way off.
Rob Zombie.
There's a what do all those bands have in common?
They all rock. Man, oh, it's a go. Hailstorm.
Oh, you're getting closer.
The Pretty Reckless.
Oh.
Found it. Boom.
Like, I'm always singing that song.
Yeah, it's
and
so
I get home and I'm singing it. I'm like, oh, Pretty Reckless, get out of my head.
And she's so hot, too. Have you ever watched their music videos?
Yeah, I'm right, familiar so with it.
You're in the loop.
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
All right. Well, why don't we do some push-ups, Ted? That's what the MegaCast is all about, getting people pumped up for their evening, for their morning, for their afternoon, whatever it may be. But the best way to listen to this podcast is to give us your full attention, to give us 10. And the way to do that is by doing push-ups.
Yeah, man.
That way it gets your blood pumping, your heart racing, and your brain
functioning.
Today's push-ups.
Oh,
man, I'm so pumped.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket hot.
Let's get Ted to the Pretty Reckless.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Sweet.
Knows we belong way down below. Boy. Sing it.
Ted, sing it.
And I'm going to have to hear this song another time today while I'm in the studio.
At least once.
I won't lie, after we talked about that, I kind of kept waiting for a conversation from like somebody going, are you hating on that song?
Right?
TED Talks, starring B. Tech Smith.
It's the rock songs that throw me off. TED Talk this week. Somebody gave me a great quote the other day. We were talking about how people might do things different than you do. You know, you might not have the same philosophies, religion, this and that. But the world needs all of us. So instead of hating on people or getting too down on them, like, recognize the fact that, like, as much as you're needed in this world, well, their roles need it too, you know? So just try to look at things through their eyes sometimes instead of getting all worked up.
We're like insects, man. We all serve a purpose.
Yeah. Food chain, duh.
That's right. You might hate that spider. You might want to crush that spider. But in some way, shape, or form, that spider is important to your existence.
Well, it's just easy to sit around and go, well, that guy doesn't think the same way I do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not, how does he live his life that way? But it's like, it's the way he's choosing to live his life, you know? And the world needs all of us.
And I think that could be applied a lot to the workplace as well. I've gotten better over the years, but in the early years of my career, I was a very controlling kind of a person. Like, I really needed it to be done my way. It was my way is the only way. And then over the years, I started...
Man, you don't even get an option of the highway?
No, there is no highway, man. It's just my way.
It's my way.
Yeah. We're not even getting on the road. We're just staying right here doing it my way. You can't even go anywhere.
That's a little aggressive.
That's right, Ted. This is young Steve talking. This
All
is
right,
how it
Steve.
Is. If you don't like it, get the hell out.
Oh, hey, Brooklyn Steve. Hey, my bad.
Hey, yo.
Babe. Babe.
There is no highway. Capiche?
Is Steve's way.
You want to get somewhere? You get on the Steve way.
Forget your highway. Forget your parkway. You're getting on the Steve way.
That's right.
And there's only one way to ride it. Rough.
Roar.
Rough, rugged, and raw.
Roar.
Man, we didn't even drink a beer today. What are we doing?
I don't know. What I'm saying is, in the workplace, I used to be that kind of guy. And then I realized, you know what? As long as something gets done, I don't care what path you took to get that job done. Just get the job done. I don't need to have you do it my way. If you do it a certain way that works for you and the results are fine and they don't have to be exactly how I hoped they were. Like, I think maybe it's with old age also comes like, who gives an F kind of attitude from time to time.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's close enough. Yeah. Let's be cool with each other, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I do want to thank you because you put out a tweet recently. You said for people to spend more time listening.
I just said, what did I say? Like, you'll be amazed by like, the conversation you can have with people if you just look them in the eye and listen.
And I read that and I thought, you know what? I got to apply that in some way, shape, or form in my week. And you won't believe the story that I learned from a lady that goes to our church. She is this woman that is always nice, always smiling, but I never knew her backstory.
All right. So, how old?
Oh, she's got to be in her 60s.
All right.
And she is, I believe, Kenyan. And that's important in the story, and obviously I should have listened a little bit better because I'm spacing on exactly where, but somewhere in that area where there's like a lot of crime.
I mean, I wouldn't know any city in Kenya, I don't think, besides Nairobi.
I
hope that's in Kenya.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get tweets if it wasn't. I learned, and this story's going to blow your mind, too. And I was sitting there, I'm like, this is like, somebody needs to buy the rights to this and turn it into a movie. Her husband, who I know as well, who recently hasn't been going to church as much because he suffered a stroke, but he's going to be okay. Apparently, her husband at one point was like huge up in the world of the politics in Kenya. Like, what would be the equivalent of like Secretary of State here?
Like Minister of something.
Big time. Well, the president at the time, and this is back in the 80s, and I wish I could remember exactly, I should have done the research, but whatever. Apparently, it was a very corrupt president.
Well, disappointed you're not up on your mid-80s African politics scene.
And I always fail on Jeopardy because of that. It's like, God, why'd you pick that category? Mid-80s Kenyan government.
It's a random-ass category, by the way, Alex. Very random.
That's rough. I find out that, hey, that's amazing that he was up that high in the chain. And apparently he was not happy with how corrupt the system was. Like, he believed in, like, you know, in being honest and being a good person and doing the right things for the city, for the country, whatever it is.
For the people.
For the people. And he met with the president at the time, President Bush. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I guess when they left that meeting, they weren't happy because they felt like things weren't going to change. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on. Well, fast forward sometime down the line, his brother goes missing. They find out his brother was killed like a few days after that.
Oh, man.
Next thing you know, her husband disappears. And she's like, oh, boy. Turns out he fortunately was able to get out just by being beaten. But apparently was beaten pretty bad. So it's
Jesus.
Like, this is like some heavy stuff that she's sharing with us. I'm like, holy smokes. So then she worked with the United Nations, I guess. So she had connections with the United States. She decided, I got to get my family out of this country. And she orchestrated a way to smuggle her and her kids that range from, like, I think 5 years old to, like, 18 years old out of the country so that they could live in America. And what she wound up doing is, like, through a group of people, hey, can I work with you? But it was still, like, she was working with shady people. Like, she had to pay them a bunch of money. When she was telling the story, she's like, see, I wear these loose dresses. There's a reason why I still wear them. It reminds me of the times when I used to have to, she wrapped like money, her passport, everything around her waist. So that way it didn't look like she had anything on her and it was all underneath. And then she had to pay all these corrupt people
to get them out of the country.
Get them out of the country. So like she got to this one point where her and all of her kids, and they're like, okay, well, we'll take your daughter first. And she's like, no, you're taking my oldest first, because she didn't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah.
And what happens is then they give him money, oldest gets on a bicycle, and then all of a sudden weaves through, like, there's, like, some, like, fair type of a thing, like, almost like a, imagine Pike Place, but, like, in a corrupt area, like, where it's, like, all this action's going on, so she knows that they could get through somewhere to get to this other group of people that could then smuggle them out without anyone noticing that they're trying to, you know, run off.
Right.
The kids all go, and then eventually the daughter, and then they get to the other end, and at first she couldn't find, like, one of her kids. And then eventually they were able to find them. But, like, I mean, it's like one of those stories that, like, is the ultimate testimony and why, like, certain people have faith. Like, and I'm never going to be one that's going to tell people how to live their life. And, like, you know, going back to your TED talk, you know,
yeah.
Everyone can be who they want to be. Just as much as I hope no one judges me for how I am, I hope no one judges, I'm not going to judge anyone as well. Well, this is like one of those things where she was like, all I could do is have faith in God that I was going to be able to be reconnected with my kids at the other end of this bicycle trip. And then I guess when it got to her and one of her other kids, they're like, we can't put you on the bike. You're too big. Blah, 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 blah. You have to just run. And so she had to just run. And eventually,
are people trying to stop him?
Well, if that's why they had to do it somewhere where there was a lot of, like, a highly populated area, because of the fear that they would have been stopped, because she was a recognizable person. There's a target on her because of him. Well, eventually she was able to get over. He was eventually able to get out. She never shared the story about how he was able to get out. I'm sure eventually I'll find that out as well. But they eventually made it to the United States, and now they're living here, and he still goes back. I think it is Kenya. He still goes back there to help people in poverty, and like, you know, time has passed. That president's no longer around. But
yeah.
But back then, I'm like, it's like one of those, like when you said, just listen to people's stories. I would have never thought. I just thought she was this nice lady from Africa, and that now lives in Gig Harbor and goes to our church.
That's unbelievable. That's crazy too, because I sent that tweet out because I'm not nearly as serious.
Okay.
But same thing. Like I forget where I was, but there was just an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of locked eyes, and I just gave her a head nod or whatever. And then she like stopped me, and it's like just started talking to me. And then she had like, at first I was like, all right. And she had like these crazy stories, and then she broke out pictures to back them up of like her with like old school famous people.
And this would have never happened if you just nodded and kept walking.
I mean, it happened to me like 3 times in the last week. I forget where I was going. It was like 10 a.m. on a Monday, and I'm wearing that Everett Aqua Sox hat. And we, you know, just kind of do the head nod, and then he's like, hey, man, like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's Everett. And then we start talking about baseball, and he's telling me how, I forget the names of the guys, but they were, like, big players for the Cubs in the 80s. And he's like, yeah, I played college ball with them and grew up with them. Yeah, it was just a cycle of events that had happened, like, 2 or 3 times. And that's all I was like, yeah, I got to send that out.
It almost boils down to us and myself. I know you're good at it, and I need to be better at it. And I always look at you as an inspiration. Like, I just put the phone in the pocket and stop playing on it. Because I think we're missing a lot of things. Dave Grohl is going to be joining us in about a minute, so stick around.
The Megacast with Lee Tech Smith and Steve will return when they are good and ready.
Today, Hollywood's biggest action stars are back for one more adventure. Sylvester Stallone is Barney Ross.
Ross, we've lost power to the main engine. What do we do? Could you say that again?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is Trench.
Hey, Trench? Any idea what Ross just said? Oh, man.
And Jason Statham is Lee Christmas.
Christmas, help me out here. I have no idea what these two are saying.
What a hell.
We're dead.
Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Statham. The Unintelligibles 3.
No, I missed them. Welcome back. The Megacast with B-Tech Smith and Steve.
Yeah, man.
I love this song, man. Off of Sonic Highways, The Feast and the Famine from the DC episode.
That is a great song.
Oh, I'm so pumped right now. The star of Sonic Highways, the front man of the Foo Fighters, the Ted Smith, are you ready for this?
You know what? He's a DC area guy. I'm a DC area guy. We both moved to Seattle. Dave doesn't know this, but
he will. Dave Grohl.
Steve, what's happening?
My man, how are you?
I'm okay.
We got Ted here with us as well. We're both very excited.
Ted Nugent?
Ted Nugent, yes.
The Motor City Madman.
What's up, Dave? How you been?
What's up, Ted? Long time no see.
I know, man. We got to get together, bro.
We were bow hunting, and we got that buck out in Montana.
Man, we gotta eat what we kill, right?
Yeah, you always eat what you kill. I eat the bugs I step on in the morning, dude. I'm telling you.
Dude, we've been geeking out about Sonic Highways, the show, like, nonstop. Props to you for, A, having the balls to do something so different, and then, B, convincing, you know, I mean, HBO and Worldwide Pants to be on board with this. I kind of wish that this was going to be a double album so that the show keeps on going.
I tell you what. 8 is enough, my brother. The last 2 years just kicked my ass so hard, you have no idea.
Oh, well,
like, this started about 2 years ago, and I came up with the idea. I was like, hey, you know what, guys, we should do this. And that's how all our crazy ideas happen. I just say something that I imagine could be kind of fun, and then 2 years later, I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't slept in 4 weeks. What am I doing? But, no, I mean, it started with the last record. We recorded it in my garage rather than go to our studio. And it was really fun, and it really challenged the band. And it was, you know, take the band out of the comfort zone and do something different. And don't use computers, just use tape and just do it in my garage. And it was like, it would turn out great. And then I'd made that Sound City documentary, which I'd never imagined I was going to be a director or make a movie. And I did that. And the response was really great, and people were really inspired. And then it's like, okay, now what, are we just going to walk into the studio and make another record? So I thought, well, what if we kind of put both of those ideas together, but instead of it just being one studio, have it be eight studios in eight different cities, and rather than it being like a documentary film, it's a series.
When you proposed the idea to Butch Vig, your record producer, did he not want to kick you in the jimmy for this?
He just does what I tell him to do. No, I mean, he, like, you know, we're so, like, we're pals.
Yeah.
You know, we've known each other a long time, and we've done a lot of stuff together. So he doesn't even ask if he's producing the next record. He asks when. See, this is the thing. People, it's great. It's not only exciting and fun to challenge yourself in anything, but usually it produces some kind of result, you know, like, when you listen to the record, it's like, this is a Foo Fighters record. This is not, we weren't going to go out and record a blues song in Chicago and a jazz song in New Orleans or country song in Nashville. Like, we went out there to make a Foo Fighters record, but the idea was to keep the process exciting so that after 20 years, we still want to be a band, you know? And I mean, honestly, like, when we get to get, when we pull up to the air, like, okay, so say we get off the plane, we walk off the plane, we walk out to the curb at the airport, and there's three cars ready to take all of us to wherever we have to go. Still to this day, we all squeeze in one of those little cars. Like, it's just how it works. And so, and it's something, you know, after 20 years. I think it's because we started in a van that we always just, I still call the bus the van. Like, oh, I left my backpack on the van. Oh, I mean the bus. I mean the van. So,
it's just a nicer van.
It is. It's a van you can crap on. How about that?
Right. That's the highest of all luxuries, Dave.
Absolutely, dude. That's when you know you've made it. When you're roaring down the street at 65 miles per hour and you're taking a dump.
That's Mecca right there.
That's right. Yeah, that is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right there.
Can we smoke on here? No, but you could poop.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you also because of this show. You've introduced, I think, a lot of us to some music that I never even thought of or heard of. I mean, 13th floor elevators are blowing my mind right now.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, you know, this is one of the great things also is that I interviewed like 100 people. I interviewed everyone from Dolly Parton to Chuck D to the president to Joan Jett to Rick Rubin to Rocky Erickson to punk bands and blues musicians. Like, and I emailed almost every one of them myself. Most of them I did, not the president. I don't have his email address. But everybody else, like, hi, my name's Dave, and I'm making this thing. Can I talk to you? But, you know, I don't know everything about music. I don't know everything about these people. So when I sat down to interview them, I was asking them legitimate questions. I just didn't know. So these were like lessons to me. So I sort of imagined myself as the viewer, you know, like I want to learn. There's sometimes where people just feel overwhelmed because there's so much out there. There's like so much music. There's 10,000 records coming out every month, and it's on your phone, it's on your watch, it's on a device, and it's like it's overwhelming, you know. But if you inspire people to fall in love with music, well, then there's never enough. You know what I mean? Like, so if the idea is to inspire people to be inspired, and when they hear the stories of all those people like Rocky or Dolly or Willie or any of those people, they hear the stories, that's what inspires them. So that's what I'm most proud of, is like, forget about the record, forget about all that other stuff. Like, just think about the next generation of musicians. There are kids today that are asking their parents for instruments because they just watched Buddy Guy tell the story of making his first guitar from wires in his screen porch. Like, how awesome is that?
Beyond awesome. And we've got Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, Sonic Highways. The CD's out now.
Dave, so we live in Seattle now. Me and Steve are both transplants from the East Coast. I actually grew up in PG County, not that far from Northern Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
So the go-go DC.
Hold on. Let's go down the ocean, get some jumbos. Sorry.
Oh, I'll meet you at Thrasher's.
Yeah, I'll go to Thrasher's.
Right. So, like I identify with Seattle now, but I still love DC. Like, for somebody like you, what do you call home? Because you have you're tied to so many cities.
Well, I mean, Virginia will always be kind of the place that I consider that I most identify with, just because I spent, most of my life there. Although now, at this point, it's kind of funny. I guess I'm getting old. I only spent about half my life there.
Seattle,
and I love Seattle so much, but I got there right before the whole thing exploded, and I still love it. When I go back to Seattle, I get really nostalgic, and I miss it. I don't know if I could live there again, but God, it's so beautiful. It's so awesome. I love it so much. But then, I've been here in L.A. for, 10 or 12 years, and honestly, home is where your home is, It's where it really is where, your heart is. And my family is here in Los Angeles, and so, I love Virginia, but, I love being able to drop my kids to school this morning in any city, like Los Angeles. Traffic sucks, super hot, kind of polluted. Everyone's got fake boobs, whatever.
Doesn't matter. A bad thing.
When are you going to tell us the bad parts?
Yeah, see, there's some positives. But I think that till the day I die, I'll be like a kind of a little scruffy redneck punk from Virginia.
As the scruffy redneck punk from Virginia who's now had opportunities to jam with people from like Queen to Led Zeppelin, Buddy Guy, you got to interview the president, Tom Petty, you got to intro Rush into the Hall of Fame. Has there been a moment, though, you thought to yourself, I can't believe this is happening to me
every day, my brother, I swear to God, I'm not kidding. Every single day, I'm just like, oh, God, I can't believe I get to... tomorrow I'm playing this thing in D.C., this Concert for Valor thing, And our drummer Taylor just had a baby the other day, so we're not playing it as a band. I have to stand there and with an acoustic guitar just by myself and play in front of like 500,000 people. Ooh. And, dude, I am so psyched you have no idea. Like, just wait until I bust out My Hero and have 500,000 people sing My Hero. I can't wait. It's going to be insane.
I got goosebumps already. I got goosebumps already.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's, when I'm sitting in traffic, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get them. This is going to be a good one,
We've had moments where we got to speak in front of a large group of people, and I always struggle with my own brain trying to screw me up. Like, hey, you should say this, and it always flops miserably. Do you ever have that inside your brain where it's like...
I got two words for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Crown Royal. I'm telling you. There you go.
Yeah, I'm in.
I just cracked the code right there. Cracked the code for you.
Crack the crown and crack the crown.
There you go.
I always get a kick out of whenever I'm reading articles, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing people label you as the nicest guy in rock. It seems like everybody loves you. I mean, ourselves included. But when was the last time you did something that maybe wasn't all that nice? Maybe like that one moment where you're like, I guess I was kind of being a dick right there.
Oh, God. I mean, of course it happens, There's every once in a while where you're tired or you've been on the road, you want to just hang with your kids, and you're out at a museum, and people think, everybody has got a camera on every single hand right now. And they're like, there's just times where I have to just look at them and go, sorry, dude, it's not going to happen, just so you know. And I can see that they're bummed. I try to shake their hands and be cool about it, but it's like, I'm a dick like everybody else. Come on. Everybody knows it's true.
Attaboy, dude.
And the guy's like, you think I'm nice? You should meet the guy from Coldplay. That dude is the sweetest. I just want to kiss him on the mouth. Love that man.
A whole new documentary.
Yeah.
Kissing Chris Martin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat. God, he's hot.
He does have very piercing eyes.
For sure, dude. He stares into your soul.
And the accent. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's
I mean, that guy, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding because we're also friends, and I honestly really, really, really like the guy a lot. He's a really, really nice guy. He's brilliant. He's funny. But he's pretty hot. And in that space between the teeth, too. I love that. It's always good.
Yeah, between that and Zach Brown, I don't know if I'm going to listen to the Foo Fighters or just the people you love.
I'm telling you, Zach's another one. Maybe we'll start a super group. Me, Zach Brown, and Chris Martin. We'll be like the Crosby, Stills, and Nash of alternative radio. How about that?
Great idea.
Coming soon to the upcoming fairs.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Dave, man, it's been a pleasure.
All right, guys. We'll see you around.
Take
see
care.
Bye.
All right. Oh, man, that was awesome, dude.
Oh, man.
I want to ask you a question about something that I'm not sure if I should be pissed about, and it involves somebody here at work.
Oh, all right.
The Megacast with D-Tech Smith and Steve. We'll be back. Take me back, back to the sack, back to the start with the lightning strike. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid singing shows. I know where we need to go, back to the sack.
Pink Floyd's new album is titled Getting Older Sucks.
My hospital bed goes up, 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 and down, down, down.
Pink Floyd brings new lyrics to classic songs with septuagenarian attitude.
Hey you, get off of my lawn.
Hear Pink Floyd updated.
Help me with my constipation.
Capturing the essence of a generation dealing with their mortality.
I don't have no bowel control.
Drink your Metamucil and turn up your hearing aid.
I don't have my teeth anymore. There's nothing but gums.
Pink Floyd's Getting Older Sucks. Now available in the pharmacy department at Walmart.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
The Megacast.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
He's back.
I'm all about that bass, bass, bass.
With no treble.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size two, but I can shake it, shake it.
That Australian chick, Grace, she knows what's up.
Oh, man.
This is easily the most obnoxious song on the radio right now.
Yeah, because it's catchy, but it's like a little kid song.
I love it, though. I know I shouldn't, but after I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm all about that bass. And, no, and it's the dumbest lyrics.
Yeah, well, that's part of why they call pop music popular music.
Good point. It's the Megacast. Again, huge thanks to Dave Grohl for joining us on the Megacast. That was that. I won't ever forget that, man. That was pretty effing cool.
It's crazy, too, because like he's talking about like having moments and stuff. Like it's cool to hear that guy talking about still having those moments while he's giving those moments to people like us, too.
I think there was a moment where he was going on for a good couple of minutes, and you and I are looking at each other going, this is great.
Right.
I could just listen to this guy. Wouldn't he be great to just sit at a bar with?
Oh, 100%. Oh. Crown Royal, too, huh?
I'll have to try that next time. Next time I'm in a position where I'm a little nervous, I might have to do a shot of Crown Royal and see if the Dave Grohl method works.
I'm clearly going to be like, oh, I learned this from Dave Grohl. I'm going to say it as, I'm not going to lie, but I'm going to phrase it as if we're friends.
And nice work taking him down the road of the van stuff.
All right.
Crapping in a bus. That's Mecca.
That is luxury.
It totally is.
Right. Well, that's always the golden rule. Yeah. No, you can't poop on here.
No number two on the bus. But you know somebody always breaks that rule.
There's always that guy.
There's always that one.
Or girl.
If a girl does that, that's a girl that's like fully in to hang out with the boys.
Yeah.
You know, I have one last thing that I talked about how I want to ask you if I have a right. I'm not really. I've been torn about this. The minute I walked in this morning, I went through a roller coaster of emotions based on something stupid that somebody wrote on a piece of paper.
All right.
So before the weekend, I decided to put a note up on the door that said, hey, room reserved Monday, and it's for Steve. That way nobody reserves this room because we were going to interview Dave Grohl.
All right.
So I was like, let me make sure this is all set up. So I come in this morning, and I look, and I see there's some writing on the paper. I'm excited to have you on because I know you were here in studio on Saturday, so I want to know if there was writing on the paper before you got here. Or
there was no writing on the paper.
Oh, this is okay. Now, this adds to my dilemma of whether or not I should be annoyed. So there's not many people.
I'm already getting annoyed because I didn't know where this subject was going. Now I see the piece of paper. It was put up on Friday. Who defaced the paper?
There's a lot of people in our building, in this area, that are all about, hey, respect my personal space, which I'm 100% on board with. Like, nobody should mess with anybody's stuff. This is a piece of paper. I'm not mad that they wrote on the piece of paper. What they wrote on the piece of paper has got me through like I said, a roller coaster of emotions. So I want to get your...
All right.
Ted and I, we're very similar. I want to see if you agree with me that I should have a right to be angry or if I should just let this one roll off my back and just accept it for what it is. People trying to be funny.
All right.
So it says Steve. Then the person writes, which Steve? With a question mark, right?
Yeah.
Cool Steve or old white Steve?
Oh. Cool Steve or old white Steve? Sounds right. Like a damn hate crime.
Right?
I would be pissed.
And that's where I was at this morning. I'm like, I've narrowed it down to a couple people.
And you're younger than Steve, the other Steve.
That was part of why I was, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm younger than, I'm assuming Cool Steve.
Thrill is Cool Steve.
Right, you didn't have the balls to write Black Steve.
Right.
Right, because that would look weird. But you'll, not that I'm not trying to call it into a race war. But like, oh, old white Steve. And I'm like,
let me see that paper.
Yeah, here you go. Look at this piece of paper. So I'm now torn. About, should I be angry about A? That person does not view me as cool, and that hurts my heart.
Jesus.
They view me as old, which I don't think 40 is all that old.
Well, I don't think so, but I'm about to be 34.
Right.
Now, the only way I would say not to be upset, and this would be really funny, is if Thrill himself has written this.
Right, but why would he be here on the weekend?
Right.
If it was, that's why I was asking you, because
right,
I'm like, well, maybe it was Ted, maybe it was Thrill or Miles, and then I'm like, okay, that's funny.
Look, which Steve... is fine. Cool Steve or old white Steve? They wrote old white Steve knowing it would get a rise out of you, Steve.
Right.
So now, well, unless there's some older, whiter Steve walking around.
I'm not aware of one. I can't think of one.
Old white Steve.
Right.
God, man. Yeah. Like, you're all right to be upset about. I mean, that's a personal, like, Steve's going to see this, so I'm going to say that he's old.
It's very
and
dicky.
How is white an insult now? Like,
yeah,
we
right.
Should feel bad as we're white?
Right. You can't be cool white Steve? Or it couldn't just be white Steve?
Cool Steve.
Or what about, bald Steve wouldn't work because we're both bald.
I don't know. I'm getting upset about this now, too.
I went from being very pissed to being like, oh, what am I worrying about? This is someone that's just trying to be funny. But then being like, if you're trying to be funny, at least own the joke.
Right.
This, to me, is like straight out of third grade. Like, you don't have the balls to write your name, but you want to be Mr. Funny Pants and take some shots, which I got no problem. I'm not mad anymore. Because it's funny and it made for good, you know, an opportunity to have some fun with it on the show.
I have a feeling this might come up later on the men's room, too. I'm gonna go to Thrill and be like, dude, you look at this note.
I'll send you a picture of the note. And I'll put it up on the Megacast page, see what people think as well. Should I be mad?
Should Steve be mad?
Me hashtag pissed or hashtag cool?
Like, obviously, I get it. We work in the public, so people are going to take shots at us. But some lady last week on a picture of, like, the men's room was, like, really harsh. Just like, do you even own a mirror? Like, oh, my God, you're scary looking. So she follows me, right? So right. I just followed her real quick and sent her a direct message and said, hey, thanks. You made me feel like a piece of S right now. I hope you got a laugh out of it. Like, I can't go on Twitter and call, like, attack other people.
No, because it'll get blown out of proportion.
Right. But that's just like, well, it is Twitter. I can personally say, like, hey, congratulations. Your mean message worked.
My biggest issue is it's more insulting that you didn't sign it because you wanted to just throw it out there and, like, make me wonder who did this. Which is working.
Maybe, I mean, should I not bring it up? Should I wait to see if somebody tips their hand? Like, hey, did you see that funny sign?
Where are they going to brag about this?
Hey, you know that guy everybody really likes? It's nice and helps people out.
Right.
Yeah, man. I got him.
So whoever it is, you're on watch.
Old white Steve.
Old white Steve is putting you on watch. Unbelievable.
That is.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I mean, they sent it for you to get a rise out of it.
It totally affected the first 30 minutes of my morning. From 3:45 to 4:15, I was stewing.
That's what I'm telling you. That tweet last week, that lady ruined an hour and a half of my night.
Right.
I couldn't watch TV. Like, nothing was making me smile. I was just like, God, like, that was so mean. Like, congratulations.
If you're one of those people that likes taking shots at people on the internet, Twitter, whatever it is, stop it.
Right. Look, I'm not against taking shots, but you know the difference between...
There's a wink and a nod.
Right, like, that's kind of like taking a shot, but like, right. Like, there's sometimes people just... You're just being mean.
That would have been more of a funny joke. Honestly, I would have had zero issues with it if they signed their name.
Yeah.
Because to me, then it's like, okay, well, they're being accountable, and I can give them a hard time back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on that note... What do you say? We do another 10?
Yeah, let's get 10.
Your song.
My song.
Let's get 10, everybody. Thank you once again for listening to the Megacast. All right, Jeff. Here we go. One, two.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
We'll be back next week, next Wednesday, when we're going to be doing the MegaCast. Thank you for listening. At the MegaCast on Twitter.
Twitter.